again, some of the kolam that are like the chatzitza. So the Gemara tells us, based on psukim, that whenever a person goes to the mikveh, not just a woman, whenever a person goes to the mikveh, so they can't have a dover achotze, it's ben besorah ben amayim. Pasuk says, rochah is called besorah, besorah ben amayim. It has to be a connection between the basar and the mayim. So the Gemara says that the details of what constitutes a chatzitza, although it appears in the chumash itself, the basic din of chatzitza, the details atar shemapeh, and are actually halachah moshe m'sinai. And when it tells us that there's halacha moshe m'sinai, there are two conditions have to be met in order to qualify as a chatzitza. Number one, it has to be a rov of the person. And number two, it has to be something that a person is mapped on, that the person would want to remove. If either one of those conditions are lacking, then it's not a problem in HaTorah. But nevertheless, it's still a problem in the Rabbanim. Chazal instituted that although in HaTorah both conditions are necessary, in the Rabbanim, even one condition suffices to pose a problem. But with the Rabbanan, if both conditions are missing, then it's tachamuta, then it's okay, even the chachila. There are more rights than we have the custom. Even if both conditions are missing, it's a mere chain of after the chachila, we try to remove it. But if it's hard to do it, then we're going to let it go, even the chachila, so to speak. The types of chatzitzas that mostly concern us are the middle category. The categories with the Rabbanan and the Torah are very unlikely to have a rov of mappin, very, very unlikely today. Most of the chatzitzas, 99.9% of the chatzitzas that we have, are what we call a miyuta makbin, and we have to just try to figure out whether it's called makbin or not. But before we get to defining what's called makbin, we have to just find through a little bit what's called rov. We made mention of Shita's Rashi. Rashi has a potentially enormous chiddush, or at least the way Tosfos understood Rashi, that Rashi's Shita is that the mendavam and murim, there are differences between rov and miyut. That's only true in chatzitzas on the hair. But chatzitzas on the body, even a kosher, even the smallest amount would be a problem, even in a Torah. That would be a huge, huge chiddush. And Tosfos points out that it's against the Gemara. The Gemara came out the fairish against that. Let's find out what Rashi even meant. What Gemara is against that? So we've spoken about this Gemara many times in the past. The Gemara Masechta Yevamos talks about if you have a non-Jewish pregnant woman who wants to convert, so the din is she can do so. She can convert, and there's no need to tovel the fetus. The Gemara says, "Beberishin is gaira, benoim torech tevila." So the Gemara quotes Machlokes, like, why is that so? So according to one opinion, is because uba yerchimo, the fetus is part of the mother's body. And according to the other opinion, no, the fetus is not part of the mother's body. It's a separate, independent entity. The only thing is that when the fetus goes under the water, so when the mother goes under the water, so the fetus is also going under the water. So the uber is not converting as part of the mother's conversion. The uber is converting as a separate, independent geirus. There's a lot of nefkamim in the dinuch as geirus, basically, not enough for now. So the Gemara raises the problem, but how do we accept the tvila of an uber? Isn't there a problem with a chatzitza? So the Gemara goes on to discuss, is it a chatzitza, not a chatzitza? And the Gemara says, well, is it a robe? Is it a meal? Is it a mountain? The Gemara speaks about all the clothing. Vuchas chatzitza, that's related to this case. According to Rashi, we're talking the wrong language. According to Rashi, this is the chatzitza on the body. This is the whole uber surrounded by the mother. So why does the Gemara apply the principles of Ruba Mapid? We should say this is different. According to Rashi, that the Sugya Ruba Mapid is only true for the hair. Why are we even discussing it in the context of the uber? So that's Tosfos Raya Brura against Rashi. And again, Shulchan Aruch Rashi is not even quoted. It's Paskin, absolutely Lalocha. That the rules of rov and machbid are equally true for the body and the hair, it's all the same thing. The only thing is that there is it's not clear what Rashi even meant with that line, but there is a major machlekes, I think, which we mentioned at the end of the previous year, there is a major machlekes between the Rambam and the Gaonim. How do you calculate rov? In the sense of what would it then be? Let's say a person has chatzitza on their entire hair, and rov of their hair, but their body is free from chatzitza. So do we say that the hair is a separate entity? And if you have a rov of your hair that's covered, let's say a person is wearing a bathing cap. So go to the mikveh for the bathing cap on. So should we say that's called the rov, that's called of your hair, and your hair is a separate entity? And we calculate rov of your hair, or do I say no? That the hair is not a separate entity, the hair is part of the whole tevilah. So if 90% of your body slash hair is free of chatzitzas, that's called the miyot. That could be enough community. There is a person goes to the mikvah with the bathing cap on. What would it then be minat Torah? So midraban for sure would be a problem. It's a davar ma'afid. People don't walk around bathing caps all the time, so sometimes take them off. So that would for sure be a davar ma'afid. The question is that a ruba ma'afid or is that only a mira ma'afid? So the onim were of the opinion that that's considered to be potentially a problem in HaTorah. That we view the hair as a separate unit, as a separate entity, and if you have a robe of the hair that's covered, as a davar ma'afid, that could pose a very, very serious problem. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that you view the hair as part of the whole entity of the body, and if most of the surface area that has to be tovel is free of chatzitza, even though the hair itself is completely covered, that would still be okay, at least on a level there. I see exactly. Too much of an afkamina for us anyway. With the rabbanu, you got to get rid of it anyway, even if it's a mira machbin, but on a level there, I see that would raise a question. So there is a further shaila that Chronim have within the view of the Gaonim, within the Machmirim, that say that you have to cheshbon, you have to calculate the hair as a separate entity. What does that mean? Does that mean all the hair in a person's body is one unit? Or maybe each set of hair, each place of hair is a separate unit? Maybe the hair on the head is a separate unit, the hair under the arms is a separate unit, other areas of hair, maybe those are separate units. Again, in that Torah, you know, it's probably not going to be much of a problem anyway. Most of the time, people are not going to have chatzitzas and rope of any of these kinds of things. But again, just in terms of conceptually, to figure out what's considered to be the definition of rove on a level of deraisa, and then subsequently on a level of derabbanan. So when all the dust settles, the bottom line is when we go to the mikvah, so she has to be clean of chatzitza, both in the body and in the hair. But at Torah, it's only a problem with a rove. How do you calculate rove? Is rove only set by the hair, like perhaps you miss Rashi? Is rove set independently by the hair? At least the Gaonim and the Rambam, those are all details in terms of defining what rove means. But the truth is that most of our discussion of chatzitzas doesn't even revolve around rove. Most of our discussion revolves around halachas of machbid. So we'll spend more time now talking about what's considered to be a davar machbid and what's not considered to be a davar machbid. So how do you even calculate, how do you even define whether somebody is machbid in something or not? So the Shulchan Aruch, if you take a look at my book number 41, Shulchan Aruch, in the top of the page, page 41, Marmach number 4, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Shrikha Shetizma Kogufa V'Pamachas. So a woman has to total her entire body at one shot. I mean, she can't go in, she go in half the body, then she go in the other half of the body. Tefillah is not mitzvah together. You have to go in all at one shot. L'fikach tzarek shlo yeh l'ashum nabrachim. So it's therefore, you can't have anything on your body that's chatzitz. Tefillah kol shehu, even if it's the smallest amount, that would be a problem. Im derech b'nei adam l'famim l'hakbir alav chotzeitz, afilu im einem aperes alav ata, or afilu im einem aperes alav li'olam, kev shederech ro b'nei adam l'hakbir alav chotzeitz. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says that if a woman has something on her body that falls into the category of hakpada, that's a problem. So the Shulchan Aruch gives us two chumras, what that means. So first he says, even if it's something that you're not makbir on this split second, that could sometimes be called the davar machbid. Also, we'll talk about that hopefully in a little while. But he also says that what if it's something that I personally don't care about, but it's something that derech rov bnei adam machbid alav, that's a problem. So that's a machlekes in the Rishonim. How exactly do you define hakpada? Is hakpada defined by the person who's tovelling? Was machbid defined by what the minhag ha'olam is? Most people view this as a davar machbid or not. So the Shulchan Aruch is machbir the shaila, and the halacha we're machbir on both ends. We're machbir both ends of the shaila. Namely, some of the rishonim define machbir as the person's personal akpada, and others define akpada as the olam's akpada. And the halacha and Shulchan Aruch we pass in both are correct. That something can qualify as a davar machbir, either if you are machbir or if everybody else is machbir. So this is sometimes the source for a question. The Rav will ask the shaila. A woman will come and she'll say, I just came after mikvah. I realized that I have this little bottle, drop a nail polish on. I realized I got this little dirt I found somewhere. So we're trying to ascertain whether that's a davar machbid or not. So you should really ask two questions. You should ask the person, well, do you care about it? Does it bother you that you have this particular nail polish here? So the woman says, yeah, it bothers me. That's a big problem. She's got to take it off the back of the mikvah again. But if she says, nah, I don't care about it. I wouldn't do anything about it. But then you have to ascertain the second fact, namely, do most people not care about it? Is that a normal thing that most people don't care about it? So the answer to that is also, yeah, no, nobody really cares about it. So those two things are true. That is called the davar she'eino machbid, and therefore the tefillah would be acceptable. The Rambam at the end writes, the end of my book number 4, l'chem chilo tifo, tefillah davar she'eino mechotzitzin, because they wrote the davar mechotzitzin. That's the meaning that we have, that we try to avoid all kinds of chatzitzas, because we don't want to start making chilut and say, well, this is good, now I'm going to tell it, remove it, clean everything. But if sometimes it's impossible to clean everything, sometimes she tried and she went to the rikmah and she realizes that she didn't do such a good job, so then the shayla comes to the end of the rav to try to figure out, is that called a davar machbid or not? So again, it has to be clear on both ends. It has to be, she's not machbid, and the oil's not machbid, then it's called a davar she'eino machbid. But in passing, the Shulchan Aruch quoted something which becomes one of the most critical issues in Ruchos Hakpada, Ruchos Chatzitza. The Shulchan Aruch says that if you had a davar which is afilu enu aperes l'ata, if it's something that people are l'famim l'hafter alav, people are sometimes care about it, even though right now they don't care about it, that's also considered to be a davar amachpada. And that's a loaded statement. Where does that come from? What does that mean? And what are the potential applications of that l'maisa? So the source of this discussion comes from actually the Mishnah, Maseches Mikvos. The Mishnah gives examples of a few different things that are machbid. And the Mishnah speaks about jewelry potentially being machbid. The only thing is, the Mishnah says it depends how tight the jewelry is. If the woman's wearing rings, and the rings are very loose, that the water gets underneath the ring, so that's not a davar machbid. If the ring, I'm sorry, that's not a davar chaitzitz, it's because the water gets under, nothing to worry about. If the ring is tight and the water can't get under it, then the Mishnah says that's a problem. That is considered to be a davar chaitzitz. So both parts of those statements are pointing to the halacha. The first half, that if it's something that's loose, so the water gets right under, so the Gemara has that also concerning in Maseches Beitza. The Gemara talks about the possibility of a person toveling with one's clothes off. Because the term like clothes on, we're crazy. I'm going to tovel with one's clothes on. The Gemara says, yeah, it's possible. It's practical. A person can tovel with their clothes on, provided that the clothing is very, very loose. So the clothing is very, very loose, the water comes from right under the clothing. So then it's not a davar chaitzitz. That's nothing. It's a zero. Obviously, under normal circumstances, we would never commit such a wild thing, because we have a minute. We don't let anything. We don't like that. Any chatzitza whatsoever. But technically speaking, so it's so loose, the water goes under, it would be technically all right. So the post can say the same is true when it comes to rings. If a woman has a very, very loose ring, so that would be technically okay, even though the chachidu would tell her to remove it. But sometimes you have a situation where she can't remove it. You have a ring, it sounds strange, I'll explain to you what it means. It's loose, but she can't remove it. How can't you remove it? The answer is, her ring is swollen. So she can't get it over her knuckle, but the ring itself is loose. That means the water gets right under the ring. She puts her hand to the sink, the water gets right under the ring. The only problem is the mice, she can't get the ring over because her finger swelled up. So what's the din? So the Poskim say that since Me'ikra Din, the Mishnah in the Kvalos, and Gemara Beitza say that you can be tovel with something that's loose, so the Me'ikra Din, it's okay. So the Chachidu, we try to remove it. If you can't remove it, so she can still go the way it is. You have to be careful that it's loose. If it's tight onto the skin, then for sure that would be a problem. So I've had this many, many times. Someone's called me with the Shaila. What do? I can't get the ring off. It's stuck. Yeah, what do? So I ask her to try to test. I ask her, what do you mean it's stuck? Is it stuck because it's tight on the fingers, it's tough if it's kicking over the knuckle. So most of the time it's a knuckle problem. So if it's a knuckle problem, then she can just tumble the way it is now. But one time it was mamash stuck. Mamash stuck against the skin, and she couldn't get it off. So it wasn't the happiest situation. She had to get the ring broken. Otherwise, mamash couldn't have it. I've learned over the years that breaking a ring has changed over the years in terms of how it's done. You pick up some interesting new piece of information. It used to be in the old days, somebody sent a woman to get a ring broken, so you just went to a jeweler and they broke it. Now the jewelers won't do it. Well, they're not supposed to do it. You have to get it done in the emergency room. Because apparently this is what I've told more recently, the jewelers either not allowed to do it or they don't want to do it with liability. you cut the woman's finger, then they'll sue you. So now it's a whole pot around to do. So one time I had to send a woman to get a ring broken. So that was the bad news. The good news was that I think her father was a jeweler. So I explained to him why he had to get the ring broken, but Lamaise was smart enough not to ask any questions. Anyway, but that's if the ring is loose. But the ring is tight. If the ring is tight, then we have a problem. So the Raven is bothered with the Kasha. He says, why is it a problem altogether? Even if the ring is tight, why should that be a problem? She wants to wear the ring. It's a wedding ring, engagement ring. She wants to wear the ring. She wants to take off the ring. So why do we call that a davar machbid? And again, the ikar din is only a chatzitza. If it's if minator only ruba machbid, but the rabban has to be at least a mutah machbid, this should be a mutah ain't a machbid. It's only on one small part of the finger, not the rope of the body. And number two, it's not machbid. Forget, she wants the ring to be on. So why is it a problem in the first place? So the Ravid writes that the chiddush of the Mishnah is that you're right. Right now, most of the time, she not wants to wear the ring. But there are times in her life where she doesn't want to wear the ring. When does she not want to wear the ring? When she's kneading dough. Well, let's say, from, say many women today don't make the Ruchah, she's washing dishes, other things. Many women take off their rings at certain times during the course of their lifetime. And at those times when they take them off, they don't want to go swimming, she thinks that. But if there are times that she mamish doesn't want the ring to be there. So the rabbi says, even though right now, she's not able to ring for another month. It doesn't matter. But since the Fahmid Mahpetis, and sometimes she's Mahbid, that is also considered to be a Dovra Mahbid. Dovish Eina Mahbid means she's got a little bit of a little bit of dirt somewhere under her foot. And you say to her, would you ever remove that dirt? Couldn't care less about the little drop of speck of dirt under her foot. So that's called a Dovish Eina Mahbid. But if you have something that a person is Mahbid on sometimes, even though not right now, it's also technically considered to be a Dovra Mahbid. That's the reason why you're not allowed to have withering.
Will we say that it would have a similar impact upon Tilsi Dayim?
Oh, very good, excellent, right, very good, very good. So that's the reason why the women take off the rings before they wash the Tilsi Dayim.
I'm saying, but if it's loose, like, why would they have
to? Right. If it's really loose, they wouldn't have to. But again, we, it's hard always to be Mishai, what's loose, what's tight. That's the source of the minute of taking off the rings.
Does this contradict the Gemara about the Ubar?
Oh, so you want to know, the Ubar, okay, because you want to know, the Gemara says that the Uber is a problem. The Uber is a problem because it's a potentially Ruba. And the Gemara actually calls it Uber Eino Machbid.
Right, so why is it not Eino Machbid?
Why is it Eino Machbid? Eventually, when it reaches 9 months, it's going to want to come out, right? Oh, very good, excellent. Once we qualify this right, but then we'll understand the answer to Uber. Very good, excellent. The Uber is going to end up to be a riot, not a kasha. So again, so this is that Chiddush Gadol of the Rav, and again, this impacts Tefillah, it impacts this time as well. This time is a little bit less chomer. There is a Machlekes Rishonim when there's even a din of Chatzitzas altogether by the Tefillah Shadayim. So our practice, we try to be Machmer. The guy has, advantages and stuff, and stuff. We try to be careful about that. Ramo writes that the Olam wasn't so careful about this. He writes that the reason why people used to wash the Shadayim and not look at them, people don't check their fingers, they don't look so carefully, and they sometimes look the other way for the Tefillah Shadayim. He writes that there was one view in Rishonim that maintained there is no din altogether. But again, the chachila, we try to be careful for Nitzel Shadayim as well. That's where the minute came that the women take off for their rings.
When we do Nitzel Shadayim, it's like a Zeker just to the Kohanim, like in other words, so it isn't that.
No, it's not real Zeker. The wash of Nitzel Shadayim before bread has nothing to do with the base of Mikdash. It was instituted mid the Rabbanan. It started out because of certain reasons of Truma, Tumah V'Tahara, but at the end of the day, it's a mitzvah mid the Rabbanan that's not linked to Mikdash itself. The only thing that may be linked to Mikdash is the washing before wet fruit. Because then in the Gemara, before you eat a wet fruit, you have to wash the Tzadayim also. So there's some Rishonim who say that only applied this man when they used to keep Tumah V'Tahara.
Because I thought they still wanted to keep the Kohanim like
on a high level of...
No, that it's like a reminder to the Kohanim.
Right, it's true. Right, 100% right. Not Mikdash per se, it's with Truma.
I meant...
Right. It's called Srach Truma. We want to make sure that the Kohanim are up to par in terms of when they eat Truma, so therefore they instituted across the board for them. That's correct. It's not Mikdash per se, it's more with Truma two times. Good. Thank you. So again, so the rabbi has this chiddush, but it seems to be beferish in the Mishnah. It's very hard to disagree with this rabbi. So that's how we pass the halach. Shulchan Aruch quotes this rabbi, and that's the way he's been accepted the halach without a question. That if you have somebody that's ena mafedes after, but it's going to be mafed in a future date, that does potentially pose a problem. Nevertheless, there is a question just how far the rabbi went with this statement. So if you take a look at page 41, and still part of the fourth of the Rebbe Kovos. There's a Pischa Tshuva. The Pischa Tshuva quotes, Ayin b'shut zichron yoyseh chelik yodeh shikosa. The mikamapa ba'ina and dafka shemat pedes li'itim mezumanos ka'osa shikosa v'tas v'kot and chavgimel to tabas b'hudekes b'etz b'chotzeitz v'shum de mesirasa v'shas lisha. So he's going to the Ravid. Says the Sefer zichron yoyseh. When do we say that something that you're machbid on at a future date poses a problem? That's if you're machbid le'itim mizumanos at certain amount of time in the following sense. Just like the model was, we're afraid the woman's going to need dough at any given moment. All right, in mikla le'isa lush kampa on my own, so she may need dough 100 times today. Olamocha, maybe she'll tomorrow, masiroso. Olam einam akpedes rachpam achas lezman merubalo. Nevertheless, says the Pesachim Kohen Zichron Yosef, when do we say that it's considered to be a Dovra Machbid, even though between you and me it's not really Machbid, but it's Machbid, Al Shem, the future? That's only when it's fairly close. But if it's a long time, it's way, way down the pipe at some point, she's going to take it off, that's not considered to be a Dovra Machbid, even according to this Chiddush of the Rivet in the Shulchan Aruch. So this Zichron Yos was really a big teller, because where did he put the number exactly? A day, an hour, a week, a month, a year, 10 years, or what exactly is considered to be a closer time, a lesser time? It's a very, very difficult chiddush. So Rav Moshe has a long tshuva, the old tshuva, this is not even the whole tshuva, this is like one speck of tshuva. Rav Moshe develops a whole yisod that it doesn't really matter in terms of time problems. It's not a question of, well, I'm going to take it off in a week from now, take it off in a day from now. It's much more than that. If you take a look at the third of the paragraph of Rav Moshe's tshuva, the fifth in Rav Kovos, he quotes the Zichron Yosef, Yeshlach lo, beginning of the third paragraph, Yeshlach lo, kim chalak bal Zichron Yosef, shuv tishe tshuva, tibak pedes rat lizman merubu lo havi atak pei dayan shom, u poshut, says Rav Moshe, she'ein kabedos al chalak bein zman merubu go memeshach shona, u bein zman muak, to memeshach chodesh u pochos, the menolim he takes it from the shuv gover zeh, the Akashim of Gemara Lamatzim is that. Says, what is Zichron Yosef? He's giving you an arbitrary Shia. A week is a problem, a month is a problem, a year is a problem. Make a day, say, Chazal don't give us these numbers, how do we know? So what is Zichron Yosef? It means a total thing, totally different thing. Ella Tzach Lema. The Kavanos of the Chalak Ben Akpeda Lahosib Shas Misha. The case, which is the original case of the Raivin, the Mishnah and the Kvals, that the ring is considered to be Chatzitza, because you may take it off when you need. She'eva Zezman Kotzov. There is no set time when you're planning on kneading. People, women get this tremendous desire to start kneading dough at any time. The Evsha, she is daming like a chol yom. Any day she may decide to knead some dough. For example, any night, all of a sudden, 2 o'clock to one, woman gets this tremendous desire to start making challah. So then, any given second, at 7:43 on Sunday morning, we have to say, is the Dover Makwit? Why? Because how do you know? She may, I mean, 90% of the time she's not going to start needing dough, but she could. There's nothing stopping her. There's nothing preventing her from doing, and once in a while she does need dough at strange times. Or for our purposes, she does once in a while wash the dishes. I'm sure everyone has seen the wife washing dishes at all strange times of the day and night. So it's possible. So since that is a possibility, so therefore one can argue that any given moment is considered to be a potential time of chatzis. So says the Rav Moshe, what if you have a situation where the woman will say with certain, I am not taking off this for another week. No matter what happens, it's not coming off. Even though a week is not that far away. Or even a week, she says, I am not taking off this davar achotzeitz for another 3 days. I'm telling you, for some external tangential reason, it's not coming off. In 3 days from now, I am for sure going to take it off. I can't wait to take it off, but for the next 3 days, it's not coming off under any circumstances. Says so much. That's not what the Raivin said. That's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah is only limited, only talking about a case where it can happen at any given moment. But if there's what we call an halacha zman kotzuf, and yet she's the one who created this zman kotzuf, or some external fact created this zman kotzuf, if there's a zman kotzuf a set time where it's not being budged, not budging until then, that is considered to be an Eino Machpid, right now, until that time, when that time comes, that becomes a Dover Machpid. But right now, she can go to the mikvah. It's called the Mir She'eino Machpid. That's where Moshe's Kiddush. So this breakthrough of Moshe is critical. There are so many potential applications of this Tshuva of Moshe. So the original Tshuva that Moshe was talking about was, he was talking about fillings, about temporary fillings in teeth, and some help from the dentist here, so we move along. So we take a look, let's go back just to the beginning of that tshuva for a second, the fifth of Rav Kovos, on page 41, the fifth of Rav Kovos, b'dover a blomba. Blomba, I think, means a filling in Yiddish, okay? Blomba shevanichin listom b'necha v'ashen. If a dentist puts in a filling, it closes up a hole of the cavity, a meshech chodesh v'yoser. Or lefamim, that sometimes they put it in temporarily for a month or so. V'achagach machlifin osal lecheres, such as sheti shor kavua, and then later they're going to put in a permanent filling.
And we're not mapping on things inside.
We all mapping. A woman doesn't have to open up her mouth when she's tovel, but she can't have a chatzitza inside. Right, so that would be a problem. So comes Rav Moshe says, "Shenistapek pakta." We have a shayla in chatzitza. That we're not sure what the din is that considered to be a chatzitza or not? Because on the one hand, it's there, and she wants to remove it at some point, the debtor says, time, come back in a month to remove it. Is that called a chatzitza? Because after Gimel Tom Leheter, that the road to lay the daitia in your possess. So Moshe said, I forgot who answered Shabbat to Moshe. So he says, you want to know what I think? You, the Rav, presented the Shal, gave three possible aterim, and you want to know what I think about it. So Moshe went on to write a 30-page tshuva to address each one of those issues. At the end there, Moshe was making, for a variety of reasons, Moshe was making the Shiloh. But one of the reasons, perhaps the primary reason why Moshe was making it, is related very much to our discussion. So Moshe goes back to square one and he says, if a woman has a filling, is that called a Dabra Machbet or not? So first the Moshe addresses, what about if it's a permanent filling? Maybe that's a chazitza also. So Moshe says, that's not a chazitza. Why is a permanent filling not a chazitza? Because it's a miyut. It's not going anywhere. Who has in mind to remove fillings? I'm sure they take out the fillings. So the filling, according to all logic, is going to remain there forever. So since the person has a davar, it's a miyot she'ena machbid, so the ikra didn't miyot she'ena machbid, is okay. Even though the Rav writes, the chetchila, we try to remove that. We're not going to tell people the chetchila to remove their fillings every time they go to make a lot of business for the dentist. But the Rav said, we're not going to go. So the din is that a woman can go to chetchila with permanent fillings. That's the minhag Yisrael. Everybody does that. I say everybody, almost everybody. I said there was in Europe a chayodah who writes that a filling is potentially chetzitza. So the post can point out that I don't know the history of dentistry. I don't know what dentistry was like in the late 1700s in Danzig, but the way the post can describe the fillings were not exactly as clean and as we have them. And they're finally clean, literally. I mean, they wasn't such a good job, and very often the filling would interfere with the way the person was eating, and they had to remove it, they had to shave it down, they had to clean it out there. So it could be that fillings were considered to be almost like a real Dovra Machbid when they first started. So there were some people who refused that fillings because of that. Back in the 1800s, because the Chayodim Paskin, they were Chashav and Chatzitza, so the married women wouldn't if you don't have fillings, you end up losing your teeth. So there were some people who followed that practice. There's manas there, so very, very few people follow the practice today. We assume that dentistry has advanced over the years, and the fillings are perfectly okay, and if your person has a permanent filling, you have nothing to worry about. But a temporary filling may still be a problem, because a temporary filling may be an issue of this ribid, that the woman knows she's going to get it put back in and take it out in a month from now. So even though right now she's not mapping, right now she's very happy the way it is, maybe that should pose a problem being a daughter of
So with this Ramosha, why was like a contact lens if you know it's going to be in the entire day, including the night?
But people do sometimes switch contact lenses. People, it's not the same as skates like the fillings. We'll wait for the fillings for a second, but it's not exactly the same as the Zuchidius. Contact lenses, people do sometimes change contact lenses.
During the day?
I don't know, my son just ran out of milk in the middle of milk yesterday because his contact lens popped out, so we had to go switch his contact. So it happens. I mean, these things happen.
But what if the dental appointment isn't for a
week? We're getting all the nuances. This is all the dentists are going to have to help us. Right, very good. So Ramesh addresses this issue. Woman goes to the dentist, she gets a temporary filling in, the dentist says to her, come back in a month from now. So I'll take care of it in a month from now. So now she has to go to the mikvah the next night. So could she go to the mikvah now? So Moshe Paskin Mi'ikra, did she go to the mikvah? Based on this svar alone, based on the Zichron Yosef, it's almost his reading of the Zichron Yosef. Remember, the Zichron Yosef just said, short versus long, we're not sure what that means. So Moshe said what he really meant to say is kavur versus non-kavur. He says, here it's kavur. She's got an appointment for a month. She's not taking this filling out in the next month. That filling's not going anywhere in the next month. So therefore, Moshe said that's called Izman kavur. And even according to the halacha of the Rav in Shulchan Aruch, that someone who's machbed liachas man is a problem, this is better than a machbed liachas man. It's Moshe's first chiddushes. So I need some help now in the world of dentistry. So some of the dentists I spoke to over the years about this were a little bit concerned about this kula. Because the question is, a woman goes for a temporary filling. And dentists come back, how long do they usually tell you to come back in?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. The time to come back in 2 weeks. Why did they tell you to come back in 2 weeks?
But give you the permanent.
Why can't they get it done in a day? Because it takes time to make.
Takes a while.
Yeah. Takes a while to make it.
They don't make it in.
That's a tricky nikkud. So if the facts would be, let's say, for some dental reason, some medical reason, we would say, no, your mouth is not ready for another 2 weeks to have this permanent filling, and therefore it's almost like impossible for us to put in this filling now. So that would be a good application of the Zichron Yosef. The person, it's not even on the radar screen. What if, Liyutsu, is there such thing as a rush job in this?
Yeah.
Can they rush?
That depends what you're talking about. Okay. Fillings as opposed to like a crown or something like
you're
that.
You're talking to a guy who doesn't know anything about dentistry, you know. So, whatever the case that we're talking about is, if you have the possibility of doing it sooner, so the question is, does that undermine the whole Zichron Yosef? Zichron Yosef said the whole reason why it's okay is because it's not like a kneading dough. Kneading dough, a woman can knead dough at any given moment. Is she going to? Probably not. But she could knead dough at any given moment. In contrast, the case like Rav Moshe is talking about, where this is man, kavua, chayk, lo yava, it's not going to be touched until 2 weeks from now. So I would say, once we're going to talk more details about the stitches, I would say stitches are closer to Rav Moshe's case. Namely, a woman goes either for a dentist, for a doctor, she got stitches. And the doctor, the dentist says, there's no way these stitches are being touched for another 2 weeks. What? If I open these stitches, if I take it out, you're going to stop bleeding, it's going to infect. No normal sane person is going to ever touch these stitches for the next 2 weeks. So that's a good example almost of Rav Moshe. That's a good application of, that's Rav Moshe's Zichron Yosef. That means it's a zman kavua, a real bona fide zman. Nothing's going to change. In the case of ordering the filling, so can you call it a zman kavua? It's a zman kavua because the company told you we need 2 weeks to order it. We know it's not true. We know the company can probably make it overnight if they want to, but the mice says they're not going to. So, could we still call that a zman kavua?
So, if the mice are not going to.
That's a question. Are they really not going to, or can if you pay enough to get the, is there such thing as can you overnight fillings?
No, because they have to make it specifically to the shape of your mouth and your tooth. And
So it takes them time to do it.
I don't think it could be done. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's different to it's a filling
right.
as opposed to putting like a crown. A crown needs maybe not 2 weeks, maybe a week, but.
That's only because they have other work before that.
No,
that
even
came
so,
in earlier.
Even so,
it means it takes a while to form. That's a good thing. That's a good thing to hear. Okay,
right.
That's good. But it may be a good thing, and depending how good we want this to be, because so very often we'll say, okay, great. The dentist said come back in 2 weeks. And the woman says, okay, great. Till 2 weeks, I got. So what about Leil Tefillah is in 12 days from now? So at 12 days from now, so her appointment to see the dentist is not for another 2 weeks. But can you leave? The dentist may even have it already. or it may be possible to get that filling for at this point, that crown at this point. So, again, I'm not arguing Rav Moshe. I'm just, some of the dentists have been over to me that Rav Moshe's svara in the cases of the fillings and the crown, that kind of stuff, is not always 100%. The facts are not always 100%. So that's the bad news. The good news is that Rav Moshe has a whole nother svara to be made. And that second svara that Rav Moshe has will be applicable even in all these cases. It's going to help for all the temporary stuff, no matter when it is ready or not ready. So let's show them the next week. We'll try to finish off the issue with the temporary fillings and then understand just how far potentially this cooler Rav Moshe is going to go with the stitches and casts and all kind of potential other applications of the svara of Rav Moshe. So hang on, I still need the dentist for next week. If we have any dermatologists with stitches, again, we can get them in here next week also.
This solves the Uber issue, right?
Well, it's going to solve the Uber issue. The woman wants the baby to be there. The baby
wants the mother.
Sometimes where you only eat once 2 weeks, because he wants the tissue.
Oh, okay. That's better.
But that's not every case.
I have to figure out about this.